Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about some of the responses that I had to my grandmother programs, tributes to grandmothers. I just couldn't resist doing two programs on these because I really had some wonderful letters, and trying to choose which ones I would have time to talk about has just been extremely difficult. One lady, Christy Rolfe, wrote to say that she had selected a song for each grandchild when he was born that was that child's special hymn. The hymn selected must have good theology and focus on God Himself and His character. These were sung to the child from birth on, and as the child grew, he was told, "This is your song. Along with this, I pray that God would let the truths from each one's song sink into their hearts." I think that's a terrific idea. Then an interesting comment from a great-grandmother. I wouldn't have thought about this because I've never been a great-grandmother, not yet. But she tells how a great-grandmother needs to be very careful to take a step back because her great-grandchildren already have a grandmother. She said a grandmother can pour out her affection in any way that she wants to on her children, but a great-grandmother must take a step back because the children have a grandmother. She said, "I still enjoy the great-grandchildren whenever I can, but I try to keep the right perspective in gifts. I have noticed my youngest grandson, who is 12 years old, will show a slight jealousy if I show too much attention to the 5 great-grandsons." So there's just a little word of warning for you great-grandmothers. And then here's a tribute to Granny. "My granny was the one person in my childhood who gave me unconditional love. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, she made clothes for my dolls. I went out and showed all my girlfriends. They wanted new clothes for their dolls, too. I told them that my granny would make them. I took them back to her house. There were about 5 girls, and we knocked on the door and told her what we wanted. Well, not only did Granny make each of the girls a dress for their dolls, but she made a big pot of spaghetti, and we had a spaghetti tea party out in the yard. It is one of my favorite memories." Isn't that delightful? And then this one from a woman whose grandparents were in Russia, so she never knew them when she was a child, but she said, "I saw what a joy my mother was to my children, always at home, always baking, always ready to take them to town, always ready to listen. And she was a teacher to them also, teaching my daughter Cindy how to bake, sew, and crochet, among other things. It was my mother to whom my daughter or son always went first with a problem, and she was always ready to listen and give advice. But she also told them to go to us next." And that's from Helen Crane in Valdosta, Georgia. The one from the lady whose grandmother made the doll clothes, that's Dawn Smith in Severn, Maryland. And the great-grandmother, her name is Dorothy M. Hardy, but I don't seem to have the place, the location of where she was, nor Christy Rolfe's. But thank you, all of you who wrote. And then this most remarkable one is from Alice Parker Roth in Milwaukee, Oregon. And such an unusual letter that I'm going to read you almost all of it. "I have a wonderful grandmother whom I admire more the older I get. She died when I was 6. She was 80 then. The theme of her life that one of her daughters gave is, 'Yes, Father.' She married a young man, a recent convert, whose illegitimacy made him undesirable for many proper Christian young ladies. He was God's choice for her. My mother had many memories of their happiness. Then the children came, and together they welcomed each one, grandfather planning his own choir. There were 10 when he died in 1912. Grandmama, who was like him, about 38, did not withdraw her yes to her God. Now she went out in heavy widow's black and veil to sell. Grandfather was in wood, had a journeyman working for him, in wood meaning in the wood business. Grandmama's own father had said that when God took the father of 10 children, he now had the opportunity to prove himself mighty on their behalf. Then the journeyman started his own business, taking the customers with him. She did not withdraw her yes to God. The hardest was to leave alone her precious children while she went out day after day. But God was faithful, a father indeed. Not one was lost. The 5 boys all had the education they wanted, engineering, dentistry. I forgot to mention that all this happened in the industrial area of Germany. In order to keep her young people at home, Grandmama spent hours preparing food for all the youth of the church to come to her house. My uncle became choir director, preparing brothers and sisters at home to help within the department. One of her little boys died at age 3 of blood poisoning. She felt she could have prevented it if only she had been more alert to what he was doing. He had a cut on a finger and played with lead toy soldiers. Yet her yes did not waver. There was World War I to endure and its aftermath of severe famine and humiliation. World War II, with its bombs and fear for her family of committed Christians. Another son was lost to her, missing at the Russian front, and a son-in-law fell. Her children knew how God carried her and hers through. When she turned 80, a big party celebrated God's faithfulness and Grandmama Lydia's yes to his ways with her. She went to him 6 weeks later. This I think of as my legacy, my inheritance. Her story does not stand out, maybe, among those who suffered, but she had a daughter, my Aunt Friedel, who had captured it all, made a long poem from it, and all of us grandchildren know it. My grandmother was faithful. That is her story. A woman who trusted God and did not waver, because he held her. My father's mother was the opposite. She was bitter and spiteful. She was critical and selfish, making life miserable for all who came in contact with her. She died years before I was born. I have never seen my own mother unwilling to forgive or to put the very best interpretation on any action by others, except her mother-in-law. She would say, "I can forgive, but I cannot forget," while her eyes spewed fire. This, too, is a legacy I have, but would rather not claim. Still, my first reaction to suffering is a bitter one. I now lay it before God when it comes. The pain from this unbidden resentment is physical, emotional, and spiritual. I do not want to cause another to sin, but to be faithful. Both grandmothers are in me. How much has to come to me before my initial and enduring reaction is, "Yes, Father." Then I wonder if suffering wouldn't be eased if I could sweetly submit. I have the mental picture of myself as a snake who hisses and strikes out when touched or threatened. I do not remember which author to thank for this image, yet it's very vivid. Poison comes easily at those times, but I am learning to run to my father and plead with him to take my snake nature away. The poison cripples me, even when it is all kept inside. And he is faithful to me, too. I have seen progress. Dear Elizabeth, your words, written and spoken, are food for me, strengthening, nourishing, wholesome. They are neither fast food nor snacks. One must be hungry to discover their goodness. I am hungry. I want to be hungrier still. Yet there's so much fear in me. I do not want to hurt anyone or see my beloved in pain and depression. I want a normal day. Remember what fun is like, to be free from depression myself, and to go on with living. The point of this letter is to remember, to put into words for others the wonderful faithfulness of God, to read the lives of his special ones. Few American families rehearse the lives of their parents and grandparents. Since I have known firsthand the value of such remembering, I miss it even more in the lives of my friends. But you know this very well yourself, don't you, Elizabeth? And then she ends with a prayer for me, and I do thank you so much, Alice Parker Roth, for that beautiful letter. And I do thank all of you who responded in any way to the grandmother programs that I did. I had many letters thanking me for doing the programs and many testimonies, which I don't have time to give you. May the Lord enable us in each period of our lives to see that God has given us special gifts and special tasks. As a grandmother, I try to take seriously my own task. And those of you who are grandmothers or great-grandmothers or mothers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers or fathers, have you thought about what an awesome privilege it is to be a cooperator with God for the sake of these children? What are the influences in their lives? Do you pray for them? Do you ask God to put a hedge of thorns around them, to cover them with His blood, and to keep them from the powers of evil? We need to do that, don't we? It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. May God make us faithful.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.